Happy New Year. It's unbelievable. 2023. I can remember when 1970 sounded like it was far away into the future when we'd all be using flying vehicles and things like that. But 2023, boy. Well, let's see on our announcements. Remember the Southeast Gwinnett Co-op and their needs. Be praying for them and support the work that they do in the community. Next Sunday, January 8th, immediately following morning worship, the 2023 budget will be presented, and also a vote on the changes to the Pastor Robert's call. We have the Bible readings for this year available in the narthex, and I thought I saw on the bulletin that there were, yeah, this week's Bible readings are included there. So that's just a wonderful thing, a wonderful blessing. And so we start out with Genesis and Philippians, and it's just a blessing to go through the year, each day being in the Word of God. And also, beginning January 10th, the breakfast on the second Saturday of every month will be a fellowship for everybody, not just the men folk, but for the ladies too and everybody else. So, and breakfast will be served and followed by a devotion. So remember that. As I said, it's just, you know, hard to believe that the old year is past and here we are. I was reading Spurgeon's Morning and Evening this morning. Maybe some of you were too. But we went through quite a lot this past year. And sometimes when we look ahead, we might have a tendency to get a little fearful about things and what's going to happen in various places. But he says to let us banish every fearful thought and rejoice with exceeding great joy in the prospect that this year we will begin to be forever with the Lord. Because Hebrews 4, verse 3 tells us, we who have believed do enter into rest. Folks, we have the Holy Spirit as the foretaste of our inheritance. So that means that in 2023, we can rest in His love and in His perfect peace. So, from this New Year's Day and all the days of this year to follow in 2023, let us be exceedingly glad and rejoice in the Lord. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. Will you please stand and for the call to worship from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Almighty Heavenly Father, You have done great things indeed. You are our salvation and our strength. We praise Your name, and we pray for that day when Your greatness and Your excellencies will be known and proclaimed with great joy in every nation throughout this world. For You alone are worthy. You are the Almighty Creator, the ruler, sustainer of Your glorious handiwork. And we pray that this Sabbath day would be sanctified in our hearts, and it would be a holy resting from all worldly thoughts and pursuits, and may it be ever more precious to us as your love is made manifest to us as we rejoice in this time of worship and communion with you. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would bless the preached word this day. May it be as the seed which fell upon the good ground and not among the thorns or on the stony ground. We pray that it would instruct and convict every heart, that you would forgive us our sins, O God, that you would encourage the weary, and by your Holy Spirit you would make the way of truth and salvation clear, powerful, so all would, by your grace, believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. In his name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing and turn in your green hymnal to Psalm 89, which is on page 815, and we will read that responsively. Page 815, Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. You said, I have made a covenant with my people. I have sworn to David, your servant.
I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.
The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who serve him.
O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it.
You created the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon, sing for joy at your name.
Your arm is endued with power, your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord.
They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness.
For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn.
Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord. Our King is the Holy One of Israel.
Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said,
I am still a strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among my people.
I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him.
My hand will slay him. Surely my heart will protect him.
No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted.
I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the river.
He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior.
I will also appoint him my firstborn, though he is called the King of the earth.
I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes,
if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands,
I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging.
But I will not take my love from them, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness.
I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. That his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun.
It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness and the child.
May our faithful covenant-keeping God bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. At this time, our deacons will come forward and receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a never-ending, eternal fountain of all good things. So in these tithes and offerings, O God, we express our heartfelt gratitude for all that you are, all the ways you have blessed us. And we ask that you would bless these tithes and offerings so the whole world may hear the most joyful sound of all, that Jesus saves, that he is Lord and King of kings. We thank you in his name. Amen. Let us join together as brothers and sisters in the Lord and with our brothers and sisters throughout this world who have confessed this ancient creed for so long. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church, which one baptism for the remission of sins, look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Thank
you. Happy New Year. Do you see these? These are called bulletins, and you're to use them throughout the course of the week. And we've encouraged you all the more by adding the, what's this in back here? The Bible reading thingy, schedule, what you call it, thing. And what a great day to begin reading through the Bible for a whole year, so that by the time you get done this time next year, Lord willing, you can say, I read through the Bible. And some of us can say, finally. Some of us can say, again. And some of us can say, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe I read through the Bible in a whole year. And then remember and to understand the blessings that come along with reading the very Word of God and keeping yourself under the authority of Scripture throughout the course of every single day. If there's not an impetus for you to do that, let me encourage you. I certainly am not going to stoop to shame you, but I certainly want to in very strongly suggest and encourage you to make an effort this year. I'm afraid, or I fear, that this year we're going to need the Scripture and the Word of the Almighty God more than we ever have before. And it's due to the course of the world events, but also in terms of the things that are going on with each and every one of us each and every day. So as we go to prayer this morning, I pray that you will open your hearts and your minds to the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know with what attitude that you come with this morning, what you had to deal with before you came, but if it's normal from Sunday morning, it's a hassle sometimes, isn't it? To be here on time, to get things dressed, to get things out the door, to get all the things that you need to do in order to get here, and then to be agitated because you're sitting there. And I would encourage you to ask the Lord God now to calm your heart, to stay your mind. As we come together in Sunday school this morning, we finished up looking through the Lord's Prayer and the six petitions that are there, and you're used to hearing that outline as I pray each Sunday through that. I hope you are using that as your model and as your rule of prayer, and that it's very important for you to sustain your prayer life according to the will of God, because the disciples asked Christ, who is God, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." So how cool is that, to ask God and then Him have a direct answer to us on how He wants us to pray. So let's go to prayer, shall we? Father, as we bow to You this morning, our calendar, Father, that has been marked because of the way Your creation is faithful in its order, tells us that we have begun a new year. And Father, we know from the past that sometimes that's just wishful thinking in terms of, man, I'm glad 22's gone and hope 23's better. Or, man, I love 22, I hope 23's like 22. Or, Lord, we expect great things in 23. And yet, Father, we bow before You now knowing that You are our God and are in control of all of these things. That Your glory, Your goodness, and Your blessings are promised to us who belong to You. That You have demonstrated that love, that faithfulness, the security that means that You are our God and Father, we are Your children, have been manifested to us who are here in this place this morning or who may be listening in on the internet. And so, Father, as we bow to You, we are here to worship You in spirit and in truth, and would pray, Father, that as we've invoked the name of Your blessed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we came together, that He certainly would be with us, but also, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, direct the prayer that You allow me to pray before You, through the power of the Holy Spirit, making it acceptable as Christ the High Priest intercedes for us before You. That You would hear our prayers, Father, and answer them. That we would pray, Father, according to the teaching of our blessed Savior when asked, "Jesus, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples to pray," by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." O Father, we are here as directed by Your Word and by the motivation of Your Spirit among us and with us. And would ask as we lift You up and to glorify You and honor You and You alone as our God, giving You the glory and the praise that You and You alone deserve. For the good things in our life, for the things, Father, that are for our good, that we don't necessarily deem it to be good at a particular time, but that Your goodness, Father, and mercy and faithfulness will prevail with us, Your children, each and every day, even as we were confirmed in that as reading Your Word this morning in Psalm 89. That You will never forget Your covenant, though we may stray and though we may, Father, need restoration, forgiveness, discipline, and forgiveness, that You still love us with an everlasting love. For You are a God who can be totally trusted, who cannot and will not lie. and have revealed your will, Father, to us in your word. What a glorious thing that we have, that you have maintained and kept in its integrity the words that you moved holy men by the power of the Holy Spirit to write for your glory and for our good, for our teaching and understanding, for our discipleship with the Lord Jesus as we walk through the course of the life that you placed before us. So we give you thanks and we praise your holy name for being our God, Almighty God. We also would look to you for the things that you will direct us in this coming year. We pray, Father, that your will be done. And that, Father, in some ways can be a very easy thing to say, but a very scary thing to actually accept. For, Father, your will and your way is not our way. And that we, Father, look to you sometimes with puzzlement or with fear or with trembling, with doubt, hurt, Father, even anger at the things that are happening around us or to us or with us or our loved ones. And we look up to you in our childhood before you and ask God, why do you allow this to happen? And yet, Father, you know exactly what you're doing. So help us to be willing participants, Father, in your will as we pray for your will to be done here on earth as has been done in heaven. For truly, Father, you will fulfill the things that you have promised to do. They will happen. They will take place. And we will know they are from you because you have told us ahead of time what you're going to do, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. So, Almighty God, what a glorious reality that we really have, that we walk by light, that we walk by sight, or, Father, do we walk by faith and not by sight? For your light is within us and your Spirit illumines us, Father, to know that we can look, discern, and to know the truth because you have allowed us to see it. Help us, Father, that in a world that is conflicted with hatred for you and a desire to keep others from knowing who you are or what you've done, and the lies that have to come forth from their lips in order to keep you from the population or to hide who you are, Father, it is a difficult thing to see the manifestation of the world in the flesh and the devil's hatred of you. And to know, Father, the goodness, the glory, the riches that you have bestowed upon us and your creation is a amazing, marvelous, and really in so many ways unbelievable and a way of unbelief that you can accomplish and have accomplished such glorious things, especially the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. We would also, Father, as we ask for your will to be done, that you would give us the things, Father, that we need, not the things that we want. I sometimes, Father, as I confess to you, difficulty in making or knowing the difference between what I want and what I need. So that, Lord God, as you give us the things that we need and we don't necessarily want, we would ask that you would help us to look to you for encouragement, for wisdom, for understanding, and a way for our faith to grow, Father, knowing that you are God and that you know what's best and you are going to accomplish what you have desired to accomplish, and it's for your glory and it's also for our good. Father, do we truly desire your glory in the course of our daily lives? For truly, Lord, we are in a battle. You know that we are, for you have told us that we are, plus you have availed us weapons of warfare to deal with them, spiritual weapons of warfare. And we can certainly see the results of the evil that's getting stronger and stronger, it seems, today. Yet we know that the darkness cannot overcome the light. And the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious, has been victorious, and we can see and know that indeed things will work out according to your good plan. But it is a good working out of order. It is a great result of your plan. It is a renewal of all things once fallen. That we can look forward, Father, to the time where there will be no more tears, will there be no more crying, will there be no more evil that's not being dealt with, nor a subjugation, Father, of a people for the benefit of those who serve. And so, Lord, as we bow to you, we would ask that you would be with our government. You tell us to pray for those who are in charge. We also know in your word that they are there because you have placed them there. And we look, Father, and certainly I must admit that I look at that and I look with sadness, with fear, but also, Father, in reverence before you. And would ask, Lord God, that you would again have mercy upon us, though we deserve it not. That you would make us a nation who again would be unashamedly called your nation, as it once was, publicly, without fear of reprisal. That you would restore unto us, Father, the joy of the place that you've allowed us to live. That you'd be with our brothers and sisters in another part of the world who are suffering terribly now through the things, whether it be war, famine, injustice, or just sheer evil. And we would ask for protection and encouragement to them. We also have folk, Father, that near and dear to us that are ill or who are recovering from an illness, and ask, Lord God, for your reclamation of their health. But not just to keep them from suffering any longer, but that you would use them all the more, Father, to demonstrate the glories of your work, the faithfulness and the growing of fruit in our lives for others, to others, and a demonstration of your love and your faithfulness to your people. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for all of these things. And in remembering the things that we ask for, Father, we would be remiss if we not confess to you that we are sinners in your sight. We are rebellious children, Father. There is not a one of us, I don't think, that is guiltless or who has not sinned. And so, Father, as we bow before you, we would ask that your Spirit would search our hearts, that you convict us of those things we must confess before you. And would ask now that you would hear us as we silently confess to you our sins. Our Father, truly we are a people who are blessed and a people who come to you, a people that you have called to be yours, who have made yours, who you have purchased by the blood of our Savior and applied the wrath to him that we rightly deserve. As you tell us that you are the faithful one, that if we confess our sins, you forgive them. Not only, Father, will you forgive them, you will place them as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. What a glorious thing that is, Father, when asked that you would restore unto us now the joy of our salvation, that you renew a right spirit before us. We would also ask, Father, that as you would restore us and encourage us, that you would protect us from the world and the flesh and the devil. That you keep us safe from evil that would come in to try to seek and to destroy the works of your hands and your will. That you would be and protect us from the world, Father, who is always trying to distract us from you, lie to us about who you are and what you want. And to make us dissatisfied, Father, with our lives and our own sinfulness, Lord. For as Paul reminded us, who is going to rescue us from this body of flesh? The very things that I want to do, I don't do the very things I don't want to do, I do. So, Father, we would ask again for protection, for encouragement, for wisdom, for strength and power that you have promised and have so done as we have prayed this morning. So we give you thanks that we are in your kingdom and that your kingdom is going to fully come, and that we would ask that you, Father, send the Lord Jesus quickly. And we pray certainly in his name. Amen and amen. Dear one, let's continue to worship our Lord God, and let's stand together and sing The Church's One Foundation, hymn number 347. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as we begin a new year together before the Lord, my personality is so ordered in a lot of ways, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. You know, I'm not very creative when it comes to thinking about new stuff and different cool things. I don't have the cool. I just got the plodding along, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then we'll fix it. But in the meantime, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But we're starting out a new year. I have been heavenly influenced through the course of reading the Word of God to begin, again, to realize more and more of the literal reality of what God says to us about who He is, what He did, and how He did it. Also, we have talked, and you have been exposed to and are being exposed to the reality of the world, that everything that we see used to be, I think, a relatively consistent average of, well, about half of it is true and half of it is a lie. And to the point now that everything that we see from us, from our institutions, have proven to be lies. And not only just lies, but a propaganda-oriented reality that means that there is a hidden agenda that's at stake. And that we have waked up to that, or I hope you have wakened up to that. And I don't mean woke to the point where we're talking about if you go woke, you go broke kind of thing. I'm talking about the reality of what life really is. And the Lord God has told us what life really is in His Word. And so how do you depend on what the truth is? Now let me encourage you and let me say to you that the light of God's presence in your heart is the only thing you need to steer you to the truth. You hear what I'm saying to you? Not somebody that you look forward to, that you like, that you enjoy, that you really like, or they're really smart, or whatever it happens to be. I want to promise you that every time you hold yourself up or you hold somebody else up as you receive what they're saying to you as truth, there's a danger that there is a falsehood that's there that if you take it, it will root error in your life unless it's based on the authority of Scripture, the light of the Word of God. Okay? Now, let me give you an example, and I'll give you an example that I'm probably going to be criticized for, but that's okay, stand in line. In the process of our new denomination, we're starting to write position papers about different things, okay? How the church stands. I hate those. Do you know why I hate those? It's because we are trying to justify to the world what the Lord God says is sin. Here's my position paper. It's called the Bible. I don't need to rewrite theological error. If you don't understand it, that's not my problem. You need to bow before Almighty God. So let's write a position paper on racial. The church needs to know. Everybody needs to know how the church stands on that. Well, we do. It's a sin. We've already declared that. Let's write a position paper on divorce and remarriage. Well, okay, let's write a 30-page paper that says God says He don't like it, He hates it. So you understand that what we end up doing is instead of receiving and living within the truth that Scripture is, we let other people help mitigate its impact on us and others. Does that make sense to you? So how and what in the world do I do, and how do I then again rely on what I'm supposed to know is truth and to live and to act that way? Well, let's look at the first few verses in the first book of the Bible in Genesis. Okay. Now, again, as we go into this, we're not going to go all the way into it. I'm not going to blow your whole brain, just half of it. You want to watch? You've blown more. Come tonight. But I want to tell you, again, according to God's Word, here is the model of creation. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is the model of creation. This is how God created the world that we see. Not the world that other people tell us about that we should see, but what He says He did. Okay? I want you to bump that against what you've been taught about what we see or what we think we see. And if there's a problem, what happens? Well, we are encouraged to downplay or water down God's Word. He really didn't mean when he said this is a metaphor. It doesn't really matter. It's not really like this. We know this is what happened. And they don't. And they're not only that, they're lying about the fact that they don't know. So here we go. This is God's holy and His inerrant Word. And here are the words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There is evening, there is morning, one day. Now, I'll just throw out just one little tidbit to you. Was the sun created yet? Where did the light and the darkness come from? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The Bible says to us there was light and darkness before the sun. What have you been told? Now, who's right and who's wrong? And this is what I'm telling you about your understanding. Scripture is our only rule in faith and practice. Y'all, don't we say that all the time? Except when it comes to intellectual things about the Bible or about science. After all, we are people of science. No, you're people of scientism, which is a religion, not from science, which is a methodology. Well, what was I told? What were you told about that, about the light? What are we told about anything has to do with God's creation? Now, here it is. If God's lying about this, how do you know He's not lying about your salvation? Who Christ was. What Christ did. You understand how important this is? People say, well, what does it matter what our creation looks like? Well, because if God told us a lie, how do we know the rest of it's not a lie? Well, because of who said it. CDC says, this is how you cure disease. Proven liars. You going to believe them? Yeah, they told me I had to have 18 shots. And 18 people, well, anyway. Right? Well, they lied to us before. How do you know what they're saying is the truth? You think God is lying to us? That's why the reality of the light that shined here and shining in you is so important. Let's visit some scriptures here just for a second. Psalm 27:1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Now let's talk about this verse for a second. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What do you use a light for? To shine in the what? The created darkness. Do you understand the Bible that God created darkness too? But what was before that? I don't have any idea. It's water. That's what it says. Well, that's weird. How can that happen? Can you have darkness without light? The answer is, can you have light without darkness? Scripture tells us in a few minutes that the light did not, or the darkness did not overcome the light, which means there is a substantive deal about darkness as light. Well, that'll blow your mind if you think about it. Let's talk about string theory, okay, that scientists are talking about now. It talks about darkness and light and where it came from. What does the Bible say? The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Is there fear and dread in your life right now? Or is the Lord the light of your salvation? One of my daughters misplaced her keys, and we were running around last night looking for her keys, and we went outside in the dark. And what you need to be able to see where you are going, and to find out if you can find out what's there, you have to have a what? A light. How do you find the truth, dear one? The light of the Holy Spirit within your heart. The issue is, do you love the truth? Do you want the truth? And y'all, most of us are scared of the truth. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. So here's the presence of the light in the child of God. And what does that promote? The fountain of life. Psalm 56:13 says, for you have delivered my soul from death and indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before you in the light of the living. Now notice what's dealing with here in this verse. You have delivered my soul from death, so you're secure. You feel secure in your life, right? Your being. Indeed my feet from stumbling. Stumbling where? In the darkness. That the light shines in my path so that I know the truth in the way I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to know, right? Psalm 104 is an amazing psalm, and if you get a chance, I want you to go through it because it, again, reveals things about creation model that's different from what we've been taught as children. And sustain even throughout the course of today. Psalm 104:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light, as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. That word is firmament in the Hebrew. And we know what a firmament is? It's like a tent. He stretched out the heavens like a tent. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. What do you need the light for to keep you on the path? What is the path? It's the straight and the narrow. It's God's, you're pursuing God's truth and righteousness that is at war against the world and the flesh and the devil. Is it any wonder people scream, why would they lie to you? Why would they hide this stuff? Why would they put these hoaxes out? Why are they doing that? Well, because they hate God. Do you have any idea how bad the world and the flesh, well, the flesh, you should know your own flesh, but the world and Satan hate God? It's not just a passing, well, when I walk by, I'm not going to pay attention to him, I walk by the street. It is an active assault against him. It is a viral hatred, a reason for great disdain for them before God. They hate God. Have you seen recently, if it ever happens again, I don't know that it will, in sporting events, where the athlete will say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for, and they automatically cut them off? You can get, I'll find on YouTube all these places where they had these interviews with these people, or these athletes, or whatever it was, where they were interviewing. One of them even said, "Well, the problem." And one of the things you're talking about how lawless one of the cities was. And he said, And the guy said, well, the reason is because of sin, and Christ is the only answer. And he was like, oh, we have a technical difficulty. And they shut him off. Why? Because they hate God. And they want to keep you from God. They want to keep you from giving God the order and the glory and the honor that's due Him and Him alone. They want to disdain you. They want you to die. The institutions that are aligning itself through the biblical schedule of the end times, do you think they care about the people that they're serving? You think that banks care about you? If you work for a bank, I'm not picking on you. Do you think the government now cares about you? Do they serve you, or are you serving them? This has to register to us as children of God in light of the light that's supposed to be within us. We should be mourning the state of our country. You should be mourning. The older you are, the more you should be mourning. Unless you just don't want to deal with it. And I understand that, because it's pretty bad. But it doesn't change anything. Nor does it give God the glory that's rightly due Him and Him alone. Now listen, dear one, as we look at this, the issue is the light that God brings, His creative life that enlightens all of creation. And we're going to close by looking at John 1. I want you to look at John 1. These are very familiar words to you. Though, if you have a good concordance, I would encourage you to put in the word light and do it for the entire Bible. And there's like 250 or 300 different uses with the two different words in Hebrews and in Greek for light. And look and read the things that talked about the light of God. Well, here's one, John 1, 1. We're going to go finish in Revelation 22. But I want you to listen to this and these words. You've heard these words probably 850,263 times. Maybe 200, maybe exaggeration, maybe only 6,000. But we should be in, right? We should be almost have it memorized, like John 3:16. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, interesting, is it not, to hear this again? In the beginning, and we got John, we started in Genesis. In the beginning, we didn't talk about this much. In the beginning of what? What's beginning? God? Did God just come into being? Or is it the beginning of the earth? Or in the beginning of the world in which we know? How long was it not there? Well, we've got no clue. We don't really know how long it's been here. It's just supposition, or it's extrapolation. Either by genealogies, which can be a little flaky, or man's understanding of how long it takes for a rock to be crushed, which is absurd. How much carbon is in there, not knowing how much carbon is supposed to be there in the first place. That's just ridiculous. Billions and billions of years. Could it be? Yeah. Do we get that indication when we're reading Scripture? No. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Nothing. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, coming into the world. Enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own. Those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the light that is received, that you have received, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, did not come from the fact that you were born a Christian, or the fact that you decided one day, you woke up and decided, I think I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior because I'm a sinner. It was all from the light that God gave to you that bore you again, made you born again. The presence of the light shines in the darkness. What did Christ say about our light? You don't put our light in a basket or under a bushel. You let it shine. The shine is life. It's the light of the presence of God in the individual. It's the personal relationship that is fostered by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God that necessarily means that you will approach the light. As you approach the light, you will receive and have to deal with the truth. I watched a movie that I'd never watched before, I didn't even know it existed, about C.S. Lewis. And the title of that was the... Speak up. The Most Reluctant Convert. And if you can find it, it was on... What was it on? Yeah. Pure Light? What was it? Pure Flix. Right, that mushy stuff. But you need to watch the dialogue in there. Whoever did that, they took it from his autobiography on how the Lord moved him into salvation. And it is marvelous how the light shined in his life to where he could no longer deny it. And he wanted to. He didn't want to be a Christian. Christianity had meant nothing to him. And he says so. I don't want it. Darkness. I want to stay in the dark. And God wouldn't let me. What did the last part of that verse say in John? Born of God. You understand? The light of life. If you are there, you will seek the truth. Isn't it interesting to you that particular issues or particular areas of political discussion or whatever it happens to be, so many people that are involved in that are Christians? You ever wonder why that is? Let me ask you about how many... I would suggest to you that one of the bastions of Christianity that's still left in our nation is in athletics. Do you know why? I want you to think about that. In order to be successful in athletics, you've got to be disciplined. You have to be goal-oriented. You have to love what you're doing. And you have to be able to follow rules. Does the general population do that? No. Who does that? People that have been indwelled by the light. Do you understand? That's not by mistake. Look around you. The world and the devil tells you, this is what you're supposed to see. And you look and you don't see it. God says there ain't nothing to see. Man says there is something to see, but you ain't seeing it. God says, look. Man says, don't pay attention to what he says. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just myths. The truth will set you free. Isn't that what Christ said? The bondages that we're under is a bondage of sin and death. Man's theories, man's lies, man's order to keep you afraid. Half of the pandemic stuff, y'all, is to scare people half to death. To get them under your, get you under their thumb. Scare you to death. People are so scared, they're wearing masks that would never be able to protect them in a car when they're in there by themselves. That's fear. If you've ever been around a box of N95 masks, just look on the side. It says, will not protect you from viral diseases. Why are you wearing them? Well, they told me I had to. It's for my own good and for yours. Gag me with a spoon. Wake up! How many other things are like that? Our money, right? Your dollar bill is not a dollar and it's not a bill. It's worthless paper. It's a fiat currency. That means there's nothing backing it. The only reason it exists is because people have said, oh, here's the dollar. Let me have a Tootsie Roll. Usually you can get a whole bunch of Tootsie Rolls for that piece of paper. Now, can you know too much? If it brings you to the point of despair and disillusionment, you can know too much. Unless you're trusting in the light, who knows what He's doing, who has told us, this is what it's like. Here's the world. This is what it's like. Well, I've trusted Him for my salvation. I'm certainly going to believe when He says He separated the waters, that He really separated the waters. I will never leave you or forsake you. Carl Sagan ever say that to you? Trust in me and you'll never die. Did Fauci ever say that to you? Don't eat whatever. Did Christ ever say that to you? Are we still under bondage? We're beginning a new year. I remind you what the Word of God says in Revelation 22 as we close. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 22. Then He showed me a river of water of life, or the water of life, clear as crystal. Really? Is that really there? Coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the street. On either side of the river was a tree of life. Two trees. Bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its every fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. His bondservants will serve Him. They will see His face. And His name will be on their forehead. See what perverted it is with the Antichrist? For he says, no, you're not God, you're mine. I'm putting my mark on you. There will be no longer any night. And they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun. So what was the light back in Genesis? Because the Lord God will illumine them and they will reign forever and ever. Oh, the light was Christ in Genesis 1. And He said to me, these words are faithful and true. And if you ever want to underline, underscore, highlight a verse in the Bible, there's one right there for you. These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Amen. Now listen, let me ask you a question. I am coming quickly. Has He come quickly? Or maybe I just don't understand what the word quickly means. Personally, as I understand quickly, He ain't been very quick, which means that I don't understand what that means. You understand? Not that He messed up, or the Greek should be a different nuance. It was maybe it's me. Probably is. Probably is. You have trouble with things in God's Word? Dear ones, let me encourage you this morning and get one of the reasons out of the way. It ain't because of that. It's because of you. And the light is not shining on your face. Dear ones, we have so many things to be thankful for. The glorious riches that we have in a personal relationship with Christ. The physical relationship we have in proximity together with Christ, and the ability to be used by Him for His glory and for His honor in a way that we are safe, secure, and protected. Do you feel that? With all the chaos that's going on, with all the things that are going to happen, or all the things that aren't going to happen, it just blows my mind, and I guess I'm thankful. I'm doing all this research on the different way you look at the economy and how you're supposed to pay attention to what's going on with the supply chain and all this stuff with the different nations and the currency and the credit swaps and all of the things that go along with supposedly that make the economy run. And it's amazing after you spend a little bit of time with each economist, they really end up saying, well, this is what has happened in the past, and it's like, we ain't never been where we are right now. It ain't never happened in the past like this. Well, this is what we assume is going to happen. All your knowledge, all your understanding of all this stuff, and all you can say is, well, I think this is all, I think it's, if I'm right, please. My God has already got it right. It's already settled. It's a done deal. Because of the light that shines in my darkness. Now, dear ones, in your light or in your darkness, in your body, what are your batteries like? Right? Is your light shining? As you start into 2023, are you going in like this? Are you walking straight down the path because it's lit right in front of you? Because the light is there. All you got to do is follow it. It will lead you into all truth. And a lot of it you ain't going to like. But it's the truth. What was that phrase in that? What was it that one movie that was a military thing, Tribunal, that what's his face, that Jack Nicholson was in, and what's the little kid that did, that was derogatory, I shouldn't have said that, a Maverick guy, yeah, and they were in the trial, and he said all he wanted was the truth, and Nicholson hollered, you can't handle the truth. Can you handle the truth? With the light of God, you can. And you have nothing to fear but Him. And He is worthy of your fear. Let's pray. Father, we bow to You. Almighty God, You are God. You have demonstrated that over and over and over and over and over again. Father, and in our stupid blindness, in our selfish stupor, we whine and we moan and we gripe. And yet, Lord God, all of these words should be words of encouragement to us from You about the light that came into the world. The light that is within us as we believe. A light that shines our path and encourages our heart and points us to the truth. For, Father, we know that You are faithful in truth. Encourage our hearts, Father. Forgive us where we have doubted or we have ignored or that we have purposely just not considered because of our own fear or our own lack of understanding or in our own laziness. Thank You, Father, for this day, for our time together. We ask for Your blessings upon us as we march into this calendar year, knowing full well, Father, that You don't order Your will according to calendars, but that You would order us according to Your guidance. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for the many blessings that You've given to us, Father. We would thank You for all that we have. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear one, let's conclude our time together and let's stand and sing hymn number 98. Now thank we all our God. Phew. Now may the God and the glorious Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ bless you now until Jesus comes again. Amen. You are dismissed. Happy New Year. I started to say Merry Christmas.